Hi, Rangers, and welcome back to episode 2 of our podcast, Parkside Today. I'm your host, Robin Elliott, and today I'm joined by the Diversity and Inclusion Manager here at UW Parkside, Trina Patterson. But before we talk about what Trina's been up to, let's first talk about what you've missed since our last episode. First, we've surpassed 9,000 COVID tests administered at UW Parkside. How amazing is that? Thank you to everyone who has been giving those tests out, the staff at Ranger Hall, and also thank you to you, our listeners, who've been going to get tested. And please remember to continue to get tested, even if you have received one or both doses of the vaccine. Second, we want to welcome our new staff members. Congrats and welcome to Willie Jude II, who is the new Vice Chancellor for Advancement. Welcome to George Vukotich, the founding director of the Center for Research and Innovation and Smart Cities. And lastly, welcome to Sean Keating, the executive director of Enrollment Services. Welcome to all. And one final announcement is that Parkside Athletics announced that a limited number of fans will be allowed to watch and cheer on the Rangers in person at some athletic events this spring. Head over to parksiderangers.com to learn more. All right, those are the 3 things you've missed since last episode. We're going to take a quick break before we chat with Trina. Hope everyone had a chance to rest, recharge, and enjoy time with family and friends over spring break. Now that you're back on campus, don't forget we still need you to wear your masks, keep your distance, and please continue to get tested. Even if you have received one or both vaccination doses, we want everyone to continue to get tested and follow COVID-19 safety protocols. Thank you. All right, Rangers, now it's time to talk with the guest of our episode, Trina Patterson, Diversity and Inclusion Manager here at UW Parkside. Hi, Trina. How are you doing today?
Hey, Robin. I'm doing well, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing well also. Thank you so much for meeting with me today.
Absolutely. Thank you for the invitation.
Yeah. So, Trina, you've been the Diversity and Inclusion Manager at Parkside since September 2020. Can you kind of tell me more about that journey and how long you've been at Parkside?
Yes, sure. Yeah. So I actually started with Parkside February of 2020. So this was right around when COVID was just amping up. Everybody's trying to figure out what is it? What are we going to do? So I worked with the university about 3 weeks, maybe a month. And then we were sent home for quarantine because of COVID. So everything was virtual. So I didn't really have an opportunity to really become embedded and get engaged and involved on campus. But once we went virtual, still work with the admissions department and learning that aspect. And I think it was around the end of June, we came back to campus. And so I was back, I was the visitor services coordinator. But in between time, the position for the diversity and inclusion manager position became available. And I had applied for that because I moved here from Minnesota, and while in Minnesota, I worked in equity and inclusion. I was the achievement and integration coordinator in a K-12 district. And so that was where I had a strong interest. So I applied for the position and I started, as you said, in September of last year.
Awesome. And what do you think right now has been the most rewarding thing to work on as Diversity and Inclusion Manager?
Well, that's interesting. That's a great question. As I said, starting in September and then still, you know, everything's virtual and just really trying to figure out the role and what the OEDI, the Office of Equity, Diversity and Inclusion, what we're doing, how are we supporting our students, faculty and staff on campus? So I work closely with the Equity and Diversity Inclusion Council, and we are in close contact with the administration and campus partners. So the goal is, you know, one of the goals is to create an inclusive and equitable environment where students, faculty, and staff can receive a high quality education, live, grow, work, and thrive. And we want to attract and retain diverse student, faculty, and staff as well. And so the EDI Council, you know, we have different subcommittees, and we have three subcommittees actually that helps to support these efforts. But what I've had the opportunity, a couple of different areas I found really rewarding as I'm figuring things out, just having the opportunity to interact with my colleagues and understand where they are on this journey, this EDI journey, because it truly is a journey. And everyone is at a different space, at a different place on this journey. So listening to them, understanding what they would like to see happen with the EDI office, and some of the things they would like to see happen on campus, and just the support that I've really felt well supported with my colleagues. And so that's been a great experience, but also I've had the opportunity to go into a couple of classrooms through CNHS and speak to the freshmen. They're doing their freshman seminar, and just give an introduction to equity, diversity, and inclusion, and talk about what that is, what it means for Parkside, why it's important, and what they can do to support this and really understand how their understanding of it as well. And when you get those light bulb moments, and when you see individuals, students and adults, get it, it's like, okay, now I understand. Now I understand why it's important. And you know, these conversations, these presentations, they're introductory. You know, it's just an opportunity for them to understand. Some of them have come up to me after the presentation, and the students have said, "Thank you. You know, thank you for this opportunity to learn. I've never had this explained to me before. I've never been exposed to this." You know, just depending on their background and the environment from, you know, where they come. And then to have them say, "What can I do? How can I do more?" You know, those are really, you know, just very, very positive and very priceless opportunities of interaction.
Yeah, it sounds like that. And just hearing what you're saying, the students say, I mean, I feel like that as well. I can't place the time back to my freshman year when I sat down and had similar conversations that I've done in some of the employee EDI training. And I just think it would have been really helpful to learn that as a freshman and to be able to have that experience starting out my college education, as opposed to, I mean, I still appreciate it now. I just think it would have helped a lot more to have it earlier in life.
For sure. Yeah. And I think one of the students even asked, "Do they teach this in elementary, middle, or high school?" You know, they were asking, like, how do you even get this? And so that is something, one of my Christmas wish list. I would love to see this type of presentation or training or what have you, whatever you want to call it. But this presentation given to students, every freshman coming onto our campus, because Parkside is a diverse campus, it's important for our students to understand too, that they have a role to play. You know, I mean, it's something you're here in school doing this, but when you graduate, we want to prepare them to go out into the world to be able to work in diverse areas and be able to interact and engage professionally and properly with their coworkers. So this is almost like a training ground for them, you know, just to help them understand how to navigate those spaces of diversity.
Yeah. And I think this is a great, great stepping stone just to kind of get everyone acclimated with it. And then to be able to use it all throughout their 4 years, for however many years of college that they attend, but just being able to kind of set the groundwork to be able to continue working on it, especially after you graduate.
Exactly. And definitely not a one and done, not just, you know, oh, I got it my freshman year. We're going to have to incorporate, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to make sure that this is incorporated so that there are milestones in their college career, throughout their mm-hmm. college career, that they're going to get it. You know, we have the, you know, diversity classes that they're required to take and different things like that. But we want to make sure that they're getting a full experience as it relates to EDI.
Awesome. And can you talk about what different initiatives are taking place, like right now in EDI?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. We have, there are actually quite a few initiatives that are taking place, but what I want to talk to you about are a couple of the ones that are right now that I think that we need to just be able to, I would like to share. And the first one is the Student Climate Survey. And this is a UW system initiative. So every undergraduate student is being invited to take this climate survey. And we're trying to understand or get an idea of what their overall campus experience is. What is the UW Parkside campus experience for our students? The survey takes about 35, 40 minutes to complete, but they're asked questions about the classes that they're taking, the professors and the interactions that they have with the professors. Are they feeling supported? How involved are they on campus? Safety, are they feeling safe on campus? Do they have the resources that they need to be successful? So it's a very robust survey that these students are being asked to take. And the information, we're gonna get this information back. It's actually being administered through HARI, Higher Education Resource Institute out of California. So they're gonna take all this data, they're gonna send it back, and then Parkside's gonna get our own data and say, this is how your students are feeling, and this is what's going on with them. So we're gonna use that information, our office, and we're gonna use it to either continue with the things that we're doing right and improve that, as well as fill in some of the gaps. Where are we lacking? Where are some areas where we need improvement? We're gonna identify those, and we're gonna use that information to guide us with future initiatives that we're gonna put in place, and hopefully even possibly some policy and procedure changes as well, you know, just so we can make sure that we're serving our students. Oh, and also, I'm sorry, I was going to say, and the other important thing is we are incentivizing our students to take this survey. We're offering a $25 Amazon gift card. It's a random drawing. So students, when they complete the survey, their names will be automatically put into a drawing, and they can win a $25 Amazon gift card. And I encourage faculty, staff, anyone who has direct virtual contact with students, please just give a friendly reminder. Ask them, have they completed the survey? Have they started it? Finish it up. But we really need that student voice. That is so important so that we can make decisions based on what they are telling us they need.
So students, if you're listening to this, take the survey and you win an Amazon gift card. And your information will be very helpful for us in the future.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. So, go ahead.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
You're good. You have a couple other initiatives, correct?
Yes. Yep. So I wanted to talk about Moonshot for Equity. So that's another one that's coming up really quickly. That's another initiative. It's a regional initiative. EAB, the Educational Advisory Board. So they're putting money and resources towards closing and eliminating the gap, the equity educational gap that exists between students of color and white students. Parkside, along with three other institutions that's in our region, we were the first actually to commit to this. And the Moonshot for Equity, it's a national initiative, but I think there's seven regions across the country. We were one of the first, I believe, to say, yes, we want to be a part of this because we are serious about closing this educational equity gap. What can we do? How can we do it? And providing the support that not just as an institution, but on a scale of what do our professors need? What do our employees need? What do our students need? And how do we help support them in closing this gap? One of the things that falls underneath that big umbrella of Moonshot for Equity is the training, the equity mindedness training. I'm excited about this because it's going to provide an opportunity for us to bring to our campus consistent training opportunities that are the same across campus. So everyone can get this information, the same type of training. We'll have it for perpetuity, actually, however long we will have it, faculty and staff can access this information. And we will also be going out campus-wide providing this training so that we can scale it so that everyone is getting this EDI training.
That sounds awesome and just a great resource to help faculty and staff continue learning as well, not just the students from learning, but everyone kind of learning and growing together.
Absolutely, absolutely, yep, yes. And then one other one, if I may, I wanted to mention, one of the things that we've done in partnership with the HR training is we've extended the new hire orientation to include EDI, and it's about a 3-hour session. So equity, diversity, and inclusion is no longer just a blurb on the training spectrum, on the new hire orientation spectrum. We are going in depth, again, introductory information, but setting the tone to let our employees, our new hires know that this work is important to us as a campus, as an institution. And it's not just the work of one office. It's not just the work of a one person or a department. This is all of our responsibilities. You know, we all have to take some ownership in it. And some people, they don't know how. They don't know where to begin. It's like, what do I do? What does it mean? So we have put together a very comprehensive introductory learning opportunity for our new hires to understand. We talk about perspective, we talk about implicit bias, blind spot biases, we talk about, we have engaging activities where it causes them to kind of think, but what does this mean to me? And how can I apply this, or how does it apply to the work that I'm doing here at UW-Parkside? So this is really exciting for me. I was really happy too that we were able to get this initiative put into place.
And speaking from someone who just did the training, since I'm a new hire, it was a great way to jump into it and have that introductory lesson, be able to learn different things and think about things differently than I might have before. And it was a very comfortable and inviting space to be in with my colleagues and peers. It didn't seem, I didn't seem anxious or out of place or anything. Everyone was very welcoming in the whole experience. So it was a great way to kind of to jump into that.
Thank you. Thanks for sharing that, Robin. And that's the goal. We really wanted to create a space, a safe space, you know, a space where you feel comfortable to be vulnerable and to say, you know what, I don't understand. This is how I see things. And we talk about, where did this perception, how did that develop? You know, where did this come from? And we talk about how, you know, media and just our own life experiences, they play into how we see others. You know, we talk the stereotypes that we have about others. And so I appreciate you saying that you felt comfortable in that space. That's exactly what we wanted to create, and opportunities to learn and grow and share, because we can, you know, we can learn from each other. So thank you. Thanks for sharing that.
I have one final question before we kind of jump into Women's History Month. So can you just talk about what SETI is, for those who don't know, and kind of how students can get involved in that?
Absolutely, yes. So I kind of mentioned a little bit about the EDI Council. We have the Equity, Diversity, and Inclusion Council, and what we're doing. But the SETI is, they're the students. They're comprised of student groups of about, I think it's 10 to 15 students. They're student advocates. They work to keep Parkside administration informed about issues that are affecting underrepresented students. They're working hard to build community among various groups and student organizations, and also they're advocates for change and reform in regards to campus policies and practices. So they're really like, they're boots on the ground, they're right there, they know what's going on campus and how the students are feeling. They're in the classrooms, they're having these interactions with the professors and just even other staff members on campus. And so these students are able to advocate, they're given their perspective on what's happening. And then also once a month they have their meetings, and they're open for any student to come experience this SEDI Council and express their concerns and request assistance with addressing them. Sometimes when students have things that are going on, they might feel stuck or they may not be comfortable advocating for themselves. So SETI is put in place so that students have an advocate. They have an avenue where they can go and say, hey, this is what's happening with me. I need some help. And they've gotten some things done. They're really a hardworking group. And I just love our Student Equity, Diversity, and Inclusion Council members.
I think that's a great thing for students to know about. Just so many times you hear, oh, I didn't know who to go to, or I was scared to reach out, and having yes. a group of your peers that are there to help you is an awesome resource.
Absolutely. And their website, there's a website, they have information. You can go to the EDI website, the Equity, Diversity, and Inclusion website. The SETI page is there, and they can reach out, they can email and definitely get more information.
That's great. Thank you for sharing that. So as we said before, March is Women's History Month, and you planned the Women's History Month speaker series. Can you speak to us on why you wanted to do this?
Absolutely. So let me be totally transparent. I wish that I can say that, this was totally something I knew I always wanted to do, and I had it planned out since, December of last year. Actually, it came about, it was kind of serendipitous how the way it arrived. In the past, in my previous position in Minnesota, I did do programs for students during Women's History Month. So that was always something that we did. But how this came about, I had a conversation, and it's kind of long, I'll try and make it short, but I was having a conversation with a graduate student from the athletics department. And she was sharing about what she wanted to do and in the future. And I shared, I says, well, I have a contact who works, she's the CIAA commissioner. And if you ever need to connect, just let me know. And then I'll try and connect the two of you. Excuse me. A couple of weeks later, she texts me and she's like, hey, Jackie was a keynote speaker for this NCAA conference, and just spoke highly of her. And I knew, Women's History Month was in the back of my mind, like I really would like to do something, because I feel it's important that we highlight and celebrate the contributions that women are making and have made throughout history in so many areas. So I reached out to Jackie, and so a text message led to a conversation, and we hadn't been in touch in a long time. It had been a number of months since we had spoken. And I just kind of threw it out there. I'm like, I'd love to bring you to campus to talk with our students and faculty and staff and just, share your story. And she's like, sure, I'd be happy to do it. It's like, oh, Women's History Month is coming up, so maybe we can do that. So from there, then it just kind of went to, who else can I invite? Who else can I have to come and speak? And we wanted to do for the whole month of March, but we had spring break, so we just did it for three. So we did the Women's Speaker Series. We had three of them. And, schedules are tight, so we did what we could do. But it was just important to be able to bring different women from different areas, and so that they could share their stories, their journey, how they've gotten, where they are, and just provide, I called it, inspiration and conversation, education and conversation, and then information and conversation. So each section to me, they had a little bit different twist to it, but definitely a conversation of sharing and inspiring and motivating.
And they were great women to learn from. And even though it was virtual, I still loved being able to really feel like you could connect with everyone. I really like the virtual. I mean, who knows, in normal times, if we would have been able to speak with the same women, or if they would have been able to come to campus just because of everyone's schedules. Being virtual was awesome, to be able to sit down with women from all across the world or all across the US that we might not have been able to meet with regularly. So it was awesome. And I just want to kind of go through the different speakers that you had brought to speak with us. So let's start with Jackie. You said you had met, you knew each other from a long time ago. So kind of how did you meet? And then let's talk about your key takeaways from her speech.
Okay. So Jackie and I, we met, I got to Wisconsin via several different states. I'm not on the run from the law or anything like that. It's just I've moved to different states, and Indiana was one of the places I've lived. So I met Jackie there, and at that time she was working for the NCAA. And so through the years, sometimes you just meet people, you don't necessarily connect or stay in touch like consistently, but when you reconnect, it's just like you don't miss a beat, you know, you just pick up right where you left off. And so Jackie and I had met back in Indiana. And again, through moves and whatnot, we've kind of kept in touch, but I knew that she was, you know, growing in her career and all. And again, when I had the conversation with the student athlete Jackie's name came up, in my mind, it was like, this Jackie, she's a great resource, a great contact, a great connection. I didn't really understand, you know, her position, even though I knew she was the CIAA commissioner, but she was still, you know, just a great resource and a person. So it was one of those where I asked and she said yes. And, you know, I was like, wonderful. Thank you for being available and willing to come and speak to our campus. What I loved about Jackie's presentation was just her authenticity. She shared her professional experience, but she also shared her personal experiences. And she shared some things that, you know, I don't know how many people feel comfortable being that vulnerable with a group who you just met. You don't know. But she was comfortable and confident in telling her story, telling her truth, and it not changing or diminishing who she was or her position or the role that she played. And I just really appreciated that piece of her, professional, authentic, and just being able to share, you know, who she was as a woman and how she got to where she is, you know.
Yeah, and I'm really thankful that you allowed me to be part of the series and be able to ask questions with the speakers. And Jackie was the first speaker, and I wrote down those two words too. She was authentic and she was vulnerable. And she really just explained and showed to us how she lived out her passion every day and how she said, my power belongs to me and no one gets to take that away. And I just like just that mindset of like, this is who I am. I'm embracing it and no one can take that from me. No matter what you do, like it's always going to be mine.
Absolutely.
And I wrote down that she had just said, every opportunity you face, you have to make the most out of it. Whether it's a good experience, a bad experience, you have to either learn from it, grow from it, or enjoy it just because it is an opportunity that you get.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And my final thought on Jackie, I really, one thing I took away that I've kind of been doing now every day, I started in quarantine of like when I wake up, just kind of think of things I'm grateful for right away, just to kind of start my day on like a note like that. And she mentioned that one thing she did was saying, thank you for letting me be on the wake up list. And I just think that's a great thing just to remember every day, just to kind of center yourself and get ready for the day, but just remembering what you're grateful for as you go through the day, because you never know what's going to happen that day. But just if you can start out on a grateful note, it just makes it a little bit better.
Absolutely. And you know what? One more thing, Robin, is I really liked when she said, I think it was something to the effect of give yourself permission to celebrate you, to celebrate who you are or celebrate yourself and be proud of it. I thought that was so empowering just to say, yep, I'm awesome. I think she said, celebrate your awesomeness or something like that. It's like, yes, I'm awesome, and let me celebrate that. And we don't have to be ashamed of it or try and minimize it or anything like that, but just celebrate it. So I enjoyed that piece of it as well.
I like that. Yeah, I like that too. Because sometimes I feel like we don't want to brag about what we're doing, but it's like, no, I need to brag a little bit about myself. I think I'm pretty awesome. So I'm going to share that part of myself.
Yes, absolutely.
I like that too.
Yes.
So let's move on to Representative Ruth Buffalo. Can you talk about kind of the conversation you had with her and how you came to connect with the first Native American representative from North Dakota?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So I came to know Representative Buffalo from the work that I was doing in Minnesota. And the reason that I invited her was, one, because she was Indigenous. And I feel like we need to hear more of the Indigenous voices as well. She's in politics, and the Women's History Month theme was Valiant Women of the Vote, Refusing to be Silenced. And man, what she epitomized that, in my opinion, in the work that she's done, even before she was involved with politics. And then for her to run, she ran for one position previously, she lost, and then decided, yep, she's gonna run again. And this time when she ran, she defeated the person who was the main sponsor of a voter ID law that many felt targeted Native American voters, and they would disenfranchise them. And, you know, for her to do that and the way that she did it, you know, so you talk about a takeaway from Ruth for me was resilience and one door knock at a time. It's like, it's the beauty of the grassroots efforts, slow and steady, and just reaching out to the people in the community, listening, hearing, or just being resilient, just continuing and persevering, pressing through. So I just appreciate her and her journey, and you know, just how she got into advocating. She's an advocate, and so just being an advocate led her into being a representative for North Dakota. So
her speech was inspiring, and as well as just the part where she was just talking about, she's proud of who she is, and to not hide that when you go into conversations or when they're talking to people with different viewpoints, you have to embrace who you are. I mean, that's what makes us all special, is that we're all different. And she was talking about how she wore the elk tooth, her garb, right? Like, mm-hmm. she was saying,
yes.
she wore
yeah.
the
mm-hmm.
the religious, the garb for that she wanted for Native American clothing when she went in and got signed in. And it just being holding that part of you true and being able to not let anyone kind of dim that light, just still showing up authentically as you are to whatever role you're going to in life.
Absolutely. And that is so key for so many, particularly people of color. You know, you talk, there's this term called code switching or you're assimilating. And so with that, because you're trying to fit in and be accepted or given credibility, oftentimes it's that the idea that we need to change or switch up who we really are to be more like others so that we can be taken seriously. And when you or an individual or any person is able to step into a space in their authentic selves and be who they are and still be successful, I mean, that's a feeling that's it's a liberation. It's a feeling of just accomplishment that goes beyond just saying, yep, I achieved something, because I'm achieving it in my authentic self, in my authentic being, if that makes sense.
yeah, it does. And yeah, I think just every day kind of reminding myself to just show up as me is going to be something that's important. I think there's parts of me that show up to certain things, and then other times I'm like, oh, I don't know if I want to show that part today, or I don't know if I'm ready, you know what I mean? And mm-hmm. I think just kind of getting comfortable with being authentic will help me just as a leader and going forward in life, just to be able to show who I am.
Absolutely.
And then let's talk about Deirdre Drake and the conversation that you had with her. So you knew Deirdre before, correct?
That is correct. So As I mentioned, I still consider myself new to this community. And so when I decided, okay, we're going to do the, let me move forward with the Women's History Speakers Series. And so I reached out to a couple of people locally. I don't have a large network here still. And so I got a couple of recommendations and I reached out to some people who were local. And just due to timing or schedules or just they didn't get back to me. And then time was kind of like, okay, we got to get this done. March is coming. So I had to go to my network. And there were women who I knew who had, because I kind of knew their story, their backstory, I thought they would be a great fit for what it is that what I wanted to accomplish with these conversations for Women's History Month. And yes, I've known Deirdre for many years, since high school, actually. And we were roommates in college, we're sorority sisters. And so again, she's moved all over the country and Canada. I've moved all over the country, but through those moves, we still stay connected. And I've seen her journey and how she's moved within her career. I invited Deirdre because I specifically wanted someone who could identify, who our students could identify with. And what I mean by that is, having similar backgrounds, coming from a working class family, you know, a middle class, you know, the GM, a General Motors town or a factory town, first generation student, college student, attended a PWI, a predominantly white institution, and having to adjust to coming from one environment into this college environment, being successful. And so I wanted her to be able to share that story. And I hope that our students will go back and watch her story as well, watch her session as well, and just understand how she had to learn how to navigate those spaces of uncertainty and not feeling like you fit in, and just how to do that in a successful manner. So that was my reason for inviting Deirdre to the table to speak.
And I loved that conversation as well. I loved all of them. So, but with Deirdre's conversation, I loved when she said, you're either at the table or you're on the menu. And just saying that, make your presence known as a leader and engage with others. Don't just sit back. Don't be on the menu. Kind of make yourself known when you walk into the room and say, kind of going back to Ruth, like, this is who I am. Like, this is mm-hmm. what you're getting. And mm-hmm. making it kind of known that you're a leader and you're there to lead and to make some changes.
Yeah.
And one other thing I really liked about her conversation was how she talked about reframing a no into mm-hmm. kind of the increment, and maybe it's an incremental no. So maybe you hear no, it's not a definitive no. So kind of take it back, rework it, see how you can be like, how you can take just one little part at a time and make those a yes until it adds up into a yes. And I've really been trying to use that in my work here. Yes. Just because I feel like I have big ideas, so sometimes I get those no's, and I don't want it to shut me down because I want them to still work. So just being able to rework it and explain to everyone, this is how I see it, and this is why I see it this way, mm-hmm. and this is why I think we should do it. Something being able to just reframe it and work forward then from there, just that tip was just so important to me just moving forward in my career, I think.
Yes, absolutely. She spoke from while she works in corporate America. The what she shared, you know, the information it transcends any one genre of work or what have you. The information, you can use it wherever you are in your life, whatever industry in which you work. I love, you know, she really made it clear you have to plan your work and work your plan. She knew what she didn't want, and she was intentional about getting what she wanted, strategic about getting to it. The other thing I really appreciated was when she spoke about mentorship, you know, who her mentors were, and they weren't always women. You know, she spoke specifically about a gentleman who says, basically told her, you need a lot of work, but I see potential and I'm going to work with you. And that is important for us as we are, as we're moving through our careers, and every one of us, others are watching us. And then what are we doing? How are we helping someone else along? How are we helping others to be successful, to be, to navigate, you know, uncertain areas? But being that mentor And she talked about being intentional about hiring, you know, women in a diverse workforce. And she got some pushback for that. People had made comments about her hiring too many people of color or too many women or what have you. But again, being able to stand in that and know what you're doing is the right thing to do, and still moving forward, that was a huge takeaway also for me.
Yeah, I enjoyed the part as well when she said, you never know who's watching. And I think that comes to play in a lot of different things. Like, you never know who's watching when you're doing something good, but also when you're doing something bad, and you just want to make sure you're always showing yourself in the best light, because it could be something where someone sees you and refers you to a job or refers you for a position or something like that. So you just always want to make sure you're always mindful of what's going on around you.
Exactly. And I think Jackie mentioned that too. I think maybe both women had, the previous presenters had mentioned, you don't know who's watching you. And to your point, Robin, you know, good or bad. And we have to be mindful of, you know, the behaviors, the words, you know, how we're treating other people. Not necessarily what we say to someone, but how we make them feel. So, we're being watched, and we have to make sure that we're giving the right message.
Exactly. Is there anything else you want to share about upcoming events with EDI or anything else to share with the listeners?
Sure. Yeah. So there are a couple of things that are coming up in April. One, OMSA has a Mosaic Educator Workshop, what it means to be Asian. And I really want to encourage everyone who can to please join this workshop, especially with all the hateful things that are taking place right now with our Asian brothers and sisters. You know, this is something I think is very important for us to engage in this particular workshop. It's going to be April 5th at 4 p.m. You can visit our website or the OMSA website to get the link to join that conversation, that workshop. But definitely want to encourage all who can attend to do so. And then on April 7th, we have a mini health conference. So it's the health impact of COVID-19 on communities of color. So this is going to be a panel of health experts. They're going to be sharing and answering questions about how COVID has truly affected communities of color. We know it's affected our country as a whole, but specifically how it has affected communities of color. It's going to be hosted by Center for Ethnic Studies, Center for Community and Business Engagement at UW Parkside. Then our office is also a sponsor. And then it's facilitated by Dominican Center for Justice Resources. This is a free event, but registration is required. And so there is a link on our website so we can get registered for that. And it's set up so that you can pop in and out. I think it goes until maybe 7 in the evening, but you can pop in and out of these different panel discussions so you don't have to stay on the entire time. But definitely check that out. And then there's OMSA also has the Always Reaching Up, ARU, and they have a More Than Words Poetry Showcase. And that's going to be on April 20th, I believe. And again, check the OMSA website for that. But it's definitely something that, you know, students and faculty and staff alike can get involved with. So, yeah. And then on our website, we have a list of other community events, other campus events that are taking place also.
Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing those. We will make sure to share the link as well for all those events and the EDI website in the description for the podcast so that everyone can find it. Also, to watch all of the Women's History Month speaker series, you can go to uwp.edu/WHM and you'll find all the recordings there. But this was really fun, Trina. Thank you so much. And thank you for everything you're doing at UW Parkside for creating an inclusive environment, impacting the student body along with the faculty and staff every day and all the work that you do. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Robin. Thank you for inviting me, and thank you for this opportunity to share about the Office of Equity, Diversity, and Inclusion.
You're invited to be a part of our third annual Parkside Day. On April 15th, alumni, friends, parents, faculty, staff, and students will come together for a 24-hour celebration and support to make a collective difference here at UW Parkside. To learn more about Parkside Day 2021, visit uwp.edu/parkside-day. We can't wait, and we hope you're excited as well. The time is now. All right, Rangers, thanks for tuning in and listening to my talk with Trina. I had a great time speaking with her. Trina has been one of the nicest and kindest people that I've had the opportunity to meet while I've worked at Parkside, and she's just doing amazing things in the Office of Diversity and Inclusion here at UW-Parkside. Next, let's move on to questions encouraged. From SoccerGuy14, it states, do I still need to get tested if I got the vaccine? And to that, we say yes. Following with CDC guidelines, we are still encouraging everyone to get tested, even if you have received one or both vaccination doses. Please visit the Ranger Restart website for more. Our next question comes from Ranger Chemgirl H2O. What does commencement look like this year? Great question. This year, we are hosting a virtual ceremony and in-person celebrations for spring commencement. The virtual ceremony will start at 9 a.m., followed by each of the four colleges hosting in-person celebrations on campus over staggering times. Visit the graduation website for more information. That's all for hashtag questions encouraged. Remember to share your questions on Twitter so that we can answer them for you during our podcast. And that wraps up our show for today. Make sure you share this with your friends. Follow us on social media at UW Parkside. That's on Twitter, Instagram, and on Facebook, we are University of Wisconsin Parkside. Make sure you send us in some questions so that we can answer them next week. Thanks for tuning in, and make it a great day on purpose, Rangers.